You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. We're jumping at both Ludlow and Carlisle, and there's evening all-weather action at Kempton Park. Every race covered, of course, in full on William Hill's Racing Radio with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi in the Racing Radio studio. We're ahead of all the action. Joining myself, Sam Norris, on Wednesday's edition of the podcast is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
I'm in excellent form, Sam. How are you?
Good, yeah. I'm not too bad at all, thank you. Enjoy the weekend's racing. It was an interesting day Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday as well at Musselburgh. Mm. We have to give a shout out to Musselburgh on Sunday. They produced a really good card. But yeah, Sandown, we had Bristol Demoy, didn't we, on Saturday at Sandown. That horse established itself as a real contender for the JLT. And at Leopardstown, we had a couple of disappointments, didn't we? Ivanovic Gorbatov got beaten in the juvenile. The race won by footpad. But I think Ivanovic Gorbatov, everything went wrong for him in that race to start off with. Just the ground was really tacky and deep, which wouldn't have been ideal for him. He's a really fluent mover, a really good jumper. And just in running, he was shoved around a little bit and he could never really get into a good rhythm. But you know, it wasn't bad juveniles that he was against, and he was still only beaten 8 or 9 lengths despite everything that went against him. And I think he'll be a different horse in the Triumph on better ground. So I wouldn't write off Ivanovic Gorbatov yet.
Yeah, it's starting to become a bit of a messy picture, the Triumph Hurdle now. We've got Fixer Cap in the betting as well. Connor Tabler, that we saw at the weekend. Footpad, as you mentioned, who beat Ivanovic Gorbatov there at 10-1. Tommy Silver was a winner on Sunday as well. There's a lot of contenders still to come, possibly, for the Triumph.
There is. I mean, I think the British contingent have got a strong hand. I like Alan King's Gibral Farrow. Mm. I think he's a really professional horse. He jumps well, and I think he's got quite an engine. So, and you've got Soul Royal as well, and Fix the Cap, as you mentioned. So, yeah, it's actually shaping up into a pretty good-looking race this year.
Yeah, we'll see a bit of that form advertised as well, possibly, because Cossack Noir runs today, who was obviously beaten by Fix the Cap and Tommy Silver.
Indeed, yeah.
On his last run, so he could become a Triumph player if he wins today. There was also, we don't often say on a Monday that we're seeing Cheltenham horses, but Gordon Elliott sent one over yesterday in the shape of Jetstream Jack, Kev, who ran in last year's champion bumper and ran pretty disappointingly then. The Martin Pipe hurdle will be the target for this year and kept on nicely yesterday.
He did, and I mean, he was given £6, I think, to a horse who was rated 100 on the flat in the form of Blue Rambler, who shaped well on his debut, Blue Rambler, and as I said, a very talented horse on the flat. And yeah, Jetstream Jack was giving him £7, and he was in front a long way from home, but he's a really strongly built horse, is Jetstream Jack. He's going to come into his own over fences, that's for sure, but he's got a big engine, and for him to carry a penalty like he did and beat a horse who's so talented on the flat in a sharp track like Musselburgh, it was quite a good performance, I think, and he's 20-1, I think, with William Hill for the Martin Pipe. That's the handicap hurdle he'll be entered in for Gordon Elliott, and yeah, he might not be a bad price on the day about it, a horse who's going places.
Yeah, and at least you know that's his race as well. Gordon Elliott has come out confirmed that, which seems to be half the battle for some of these.
Yeah, exactly.
Irish
yeah, it makes it a lot easier once you have a fair idea of where they're going to go. He seems like a pretty straightforward horse, and if that's where he's going to go, then you know Gordon Elliott likes to keep things a bit simple with his Cheltenham squad, doesn't he? A lot, you know, he has a lot less horses than you know Willie Mullins will say, but he still has quite a big team by most standards. But yeah, it'd be nice to see Jetstream Jack turn up at Cheltenham again. I don't think he was quite ready for the bumper last year, but maybe he can put in a better shift this time around.
Yeah, hopefully so. 20-1 then, as Kev says, for the Martin Pipe Conditional Jockeys Handicap Hurdle at the festival. Anything then over the last 3 days that you've thought, I'm leaving that well alone? Anything really disappointed you that you're running to the hills from?
Well, I just think, I mean, the Gold Cup picture, a lot of people are talking about the likes of Jack Adam after his fall at Cheltenham, and Road to Riches, he was beaten by Carlin Food Lock. And I mean, you know, there's a bit of a cloud over Don Cossack as well after his lackluster display at Kempton, and even last time out, his jumping wasn't very good. And I can't help but feel that in amongst all of this, Road to Riches getting beat, Jack Adam falling, Don Cossack not quite showing his best, that the Gold Cup winner is still sat in his stable. I still feel that, you know, maybe Don Polly or Q Card, I think the likes of those two who have just been plying their trade, not under the radar, but, you know, doing things professionally, and they've had no real problems this season whatsoever. And I just think that Don Polly and Q Card, I think them two will come to the fore in the Gold Cup. It's just the feeling I have. If I was to avoid one, maybe Road to Riches and Don Cossack, especially after he won last time and he got back in the winning groove. But his jumping and the way he travelled just didn't really have that usual flair.
Yeah, okay. And Belzer was another one beaten at the weekend. Would you be swerving him with regards to the Neptune? Because, of course, we saw Yanworth's form get boosted as well, didn't we?
You'd have to swerve Belzer, wouldn't you? He was, just didn't find anything in the finish. I mean, you can always forgive a horse one bad run, but he had every chance in that race. He had the form to win the race, obviously, but he just didn't find anything, which was quite a disappointment. So it makes things easier for Yanworth backers. I like the look of York Hill in that race. I think York Hill has got a good chance. He's 10-1 with William Hill for the Neptune, which is a standout price. I think it's double figure odds about a horse who's completely unexposed. So he could prove to be the best of the Mullen squad for the Neptune. York Hill, now that Bell's Hill is a little bit out of form and there's a bit of cloud over him as well.
Okay. Let's talk wind operations now then, Kev. This is something that's been spoken about for quite a while now, and there's a big feature on it in this morning's Racing Post, so it's a good time to revisit the subject. Obviously, we as punters want as much information as we can possibly get our hands on.
Mm.
Is it feasible, though, to publish every wind operation that a horse has had, and what wind operations would get published, what ones wouldn't get published? Is it something that we can realistically perhaps put in place, Kev?
I can't see how it could be done very well. I mean, we're in 2016 now. There was a time, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, where the age of the internet and things like that meant that the majority of punters, you know, a lot of people would use the internet, but you were getting most of your information from newspapers.
Mm.
It's a lot easier. You've got more space to display these things in a newspaper. But, I mean, the website I work for, gg.co.uk, 80% of our traffic now is on a mobile phone.
Right.
You know, on a small device that you hold in your hand. So, and I'm sure the same, that'll translate across the Racing Post or William Hill app or, you know, whatever platform you're on. We're digesting information generally now on a smaller device. And how are you going to display wind ups? I mean, you can put W1, and we know that there are so many different types of wind operations. Some horses have more than one wind operation. Sometimes they're an immediate success, the likes of Q Card, the likes of
Cole Hardin,
exactly. I mean, he was a glaring example. But then you have horses like Wishful Thinking, who well-documented breathing issues throughout his career, despite many, many wind operations that haven't worked or have worked to varying degrees of success depending on any given day. So it's a strange subject, but a really interesting one. I do think punters have a right to know as much as we can. I mean, Oliver Sherwood makes a fair enough point that in many cases, sometimes it's owner's privilege to know this stuff. I think displaying the information is going to be the issue, especially when there's three or four different types of operation at play here. Many different types of horse, and they all respond to things. At least with headgear, you know, it's one type of headgear.
Yeah.
You can display that in one way and you know what it is and where you are. But with the wind ups, there's so many different variables. So it's quite difficult to get a grip on things. I mean, another example of a medical thing is kissing spine. Back problems that horses have, they can have that sorted out, and they can show massive improvement on the back of that, because if their back is in pain, then it's not in pain, they're going to run an awful lot better. Then you've got examples like when a mare is in foal or in season, more information that, you know, punters could be privy to. So this is all in the pipeline now. I do think it'd be good if we could have wind ups declared, but in terms of displaying them in newspapers and stuff like that, I think that would be the challenge.
Similarly, on the flat, we have a lot of punters keen to know when a horse is running first time being gelded as well.
But again, it's another one, Sam, that, you know, varying degrees of success.
Yeah.
But that has been a pretty good addition to form reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Hopefully we can see something then in the near future. Because I think, am I also right in thinking the majority of National Hunt horses will have some sort of breathing operation throughout their career?
I think you'll find that a good percentage of thoroughbred racehorses have clean wind. Paul Nicholls' stable, I mean, he gives breathing operations to the majority of his string, I think, just to clean up their airwaves anyway, even if they are clean winded. So I mean, he's been really open about it, hasn't he? And other stables have as well. The likes of Warren Greatrex, Alan King is another one who has no problem telling people about his horses that have wind operations. But as I said, Sam, I think in terms of displaying this information, I think that would be the real issue. You know, whatever website you're on, whether you're on the Racing Post website, the website I work for, Sporting Life, most people are looking at these things on their mobile phone now. How are you going to display such a varied topic as wind ops when there's so many different types and so many different types of horses, and you know, one horse might have three or four different breathing operations? How are you going to display that to give a fair reflection of things?
Yeah, it's a very good point and a very interesting way of looking at the subject there, Kev. We must leave that there though for now. No doubt we'll talk more about wind operations in the future, but we'll look ahead now to some of Wednesday's racing. We've got four races to come on the podcast, and we start at Suddle with their 110. It's the first race of the day at Suddle. This is a 6 furlong handicap with 9 runners down to contest this class 5. Anything caught the eye here, Kev?
Yeah, a few. It's quite a good race, Sam. I quite like the look of Raising Hell here, the top weight. He will be giving £5 to his nearest rival, but he's recently switched stables. I mean, he used to be Alan McCabe's yard. He's gone to John Balding's now. He has a superb record at Suddle. He's ran here 10 times in the past, winning 5 of those and placing on another 2 occasions. So he's got a really good record at Suddle. And he actually put in a clear career best last time out and his second run for John Balding. And he's got a £6 penalty here, so he'll require another career best. But that change of stable seems to have really brought about a good spurt of improvement from Raising Hell, and I think he'll prove quite difficult to beat. Of the dangers, I think Elusivity should go well again, but he seems to be a victim of his own consistency, while Satori is respected on the basis of his course and distance win last time out, but he might just not get things his own way out in front. So I think Raising Hell has a good opportunity to score again.
Okay, Raising Hell then, the top weight in the 110, getting the vote for Kev. The 330 at Carlisle is a novices limited handicap chase over a mile and 7. It's a class 4 event with 6 runners lining up in the field. What do you like in this race, Kev?
Yeah, it looks another really good opportunity for Henry Oliver's Moscow Me to continue a real purple patch lately. He had some useful form over hurdles, but he's really taken well to fences lately, and his jumping has improved from run to run, which is something that you really like to see in a young chaser. His last win was at Leicester over the Christmas period. He was quite impressive that day. He travelled powerfully, jumped really well, and came clear of his rivals with little fuss. A £5 rise in the weights looks more than fair, and I think he looks set to play another big part. He's facing a couple of consistent sorts, the likes of Morning Royalty and Freddy's Portrait there and Rupert Bear down the bottom. But I think Moscow Me will prove quite difficult to beat.
4:35. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and a furlong. The dead 8 runners stand their ground at the time of recording for this class 4 event. Who do you like in the lineup?
Yeah, it's quite a tricky race. I think Captain Redbeard is the clear danger to all on the back of his Sedgefield win over 2 miles 4 10 days ago. He has a £7 penalty here, which is more than fair, but a return to 2 miles, having won over 2 miles 4, could be a little bit of a concern against speedier rivals potentially. There are 3 or 4 of these you could give sound each way, place claims to, but the one I like for an each way poke is the George Bewley trained Diamond D'Amour down near the bottom. He's a 10-year-old now, but he's only had 16 runs under rule, so he's relatively lightly raced for his age, and he seems to be finding a little bit of form of late. He ran well at Weatherby on his seasonal reappearance back in late November, and followed that up with an equally decent run at Ayr on the 2nd of January. He was beaten 9 lengths there by Clan Legend, but he posted a decent speed figure and gets in here with a nice racing weight of 10 stone 10, and which the jockey Jonathan Bewley, he's a pretty decent rider, negates that with a handy £5 claim. So Diamond D'Amour, I think he could just prove the value.
Okay, Diamond D'Amour then, the bottom one in the 4:35 at Carlisle. We go to Kempton now then for their evening card, and we pick up the 7:25. This is a mile handicap with 12 runners down to contest this one. What caught the eye here?
Yeah, I mean, we've picked out 4 interesting races for tomorrow, Sam. I like all of these races, and I like the look of Charlie's Mate from the top of the market here. He's a versatile type who acts in different types of surfaces. He posted a solid win at Lingfield last time out, but he's up in class again here, and he's £5 up in the handicap as well, so perhaps the value lies elsewhere. Recent course and distance winner Isis Blue is respected also, but the one I like for an each way bet is Martin Mead's Mystical Spirit. He hasn't been seen since running well in a Class 4 handicap at Newmarket back in September, but he has ran well at Kempton before in a maiden last March. He was well fancied that day, went off at evens, but he could only manage third in a close fought finish that day. He's unexposed on his surface though. A mark of 79 I think is interesting on the best of his form. And the talented and in vogue Josephine Gordon is claiming a handy £5 off. So Mystical Spirit is the one for me in the 7.25.
Mystical Spirit getting the pick then for Martin Mead and the informed Josephine Gordon. Just remind us, please, then, Kev, your four selections for Wednesday's racing, please.
Raising Hell in the 110 at Southall. I'm hoping that he can improve on a really, really good course record. 3.30 at Carlisle. I'm looking at Moscow Mead to continue a really good run of form for Henry Oliver and prove quite difficult to beat. £5 up in the weights from Leicester Wynn last time out. 4.35, I'm hoping that Diamond Damore can strike for George Bewley, get into the frame for an each-way bet. And in the 7.25, I like the look of Mystical Spirit for Martin Mead.
Excellent stuff. You've been listening to the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley there ahead of Wednesday's action. Thanks for your company, Kevin. Best of luck.
Cheers.
And remember, you can join us here on William Hill's Racing Radio on Wednesday afternoon from 1 p.m. for Southall, Ludlow and Carlisle. With Kempton to come in the evening, it's Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi who'll be guiding you through all of the action. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.